Blog Talk Radio.
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm back. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blickety black, 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 black. I'm black, 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 y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black because I'm black.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. That was Dead Mike with I'm Black. Y'all, if y'all don't know, that's from CB4. Welcome to ICU Live. Welcome to this episode 2 of Season 6 called Nice Ain't Fighting with a Purpose. You know, this is mainly for the Black Lives Matter type thing. So I wanted to really get into this as quickly as possible. You know, the show's only 30 minutes, and I have a segment from, I have audio actually from one of the Black Lives activists talking to Hillary Clinton. If you haven't seen that, it's all over YouTube and everything. So I got the audio. So what I had to do was I had to piece it down to about 11 minutes, 39 seconds worth of audio. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to play this as soon as possible, actually as soon as I finish introducing and everything, and then I'm going to discuss some points of that. So I really want you to listen to this. If you haven't heard it, listen to what Reese is and the activists and what they talk about in this, and then I'm going to have some short discussion. We'll be right back. So let me get this without lingering any longer about it. I just want to get right into it. So listen to it. Listen to all everything that everybody's saying in here. You know, so here we go. Here we go. Here's Hillary with the Black activist, Black Lives Matter activist on this song, on this audio.
To produce change. So what you're doing as activists and as people who are constantly raising these issues is really important. So I applaud and thank you for that. I really do. Because we can't get change unless there's constant pressure.
Yeah.
But now the next step, so, you know, part of you need to keep the pressure on, and part of you need to help figure out, what do we do now? How are we going to do it? You know, one of the men who asked me a question today, you know, was talking about how, as a young man, he was thrown out of his house, ended up in foster care. He was, you know, abused, molested.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he turned to drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. Very common story, as you know, right? And then, you know, he has a blackout, ends up having killed somebody, ends up in prison. And so he's saying, like, you know, when do I get my life back? I've made a mistake, but when do I get my life back? So I think there has to be, in addition to the consciousness raising, which you really have done the lion's share of the work in bringing about, now we've got to figure out, okay, what are we going to do, and how are we going to do it? Because, you know, the first speech I gave in this campaign was on mass incarceration. It's a problem I've been worried about, thinking about it. David Dinkins is a friend of mine. He asked me to come speak at his conference in Columbia, and I said, you know, we got to change it.
Right.
How do we change it? And how do we have the opportunities for reintegration that these young people deserve to have? So we need a whole... we need a whole comprehensive plan that I am more than happy to work with you guys on to try to figure out, okay, we know Black Lives Matter. We need to keep saying it so that people accept it. What do we do next? What is
the next
our step? You know?
Respectfully, and I've attempted to allow you, and I feel like we have a lot of space for our next conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pleasure and honor to be in this dialogue with you. But I think that a huge part of what you haven't said is that you've offered a recognition that mass incarceration has not worked.
Mm.
And that is an unfortunate consequence of government practices that just didn't work.
Mm.
But the truth is that there's an extremely long history of unfortunate government practices that don't work, that particularly affect Black people and Black families.
Mm-hmm.
And until we as a country, and then the person who's in the seat that you seek, actually addresses the anti-blackness current that is America's first drug. We're in a meeting about drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
America's first drug is free Black labor and turning Black bodies into profit.
Mm-hmm.
And the mass incarceration system mirrors an awful lot like the prison plantation system. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's a similar thread, mm-hmm. right? And until someone takes that message and speaks that truth to white people in this country, so that we can actually take on anti-blackness as a founding problem mm-hmm. in this country, mm-hmm. I don't believe that there's going to be a solution, mm-hmm. because what the conversations that are happening now and why there's so much, mm-hmm. so much cohesion across the divide, the red side and the blue side, is because of money. Right? Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of money on prisons. Mm-hmm. We spend more money on prisons than we are on schools. Right? Mm-hmm. But if we look at it from a lens of let's solve this financial problem, and we don't look at the greater bottom line that African Americans who are Americans are suffering at greater rates mm-hmm. than most other people, mm-hmm. every other people mm-hmm. for the length of the country, mm-hmm. then it's not going to go away. It's just going to morph into something mm-hmm. new and evolved. And I genuinely want to know, you, in your family, mm-hmm. have been in no uncertain way, partially responsible for it, more than most, right? Now, there may have been unintended consequences, but now that you understand the consequences, what in your heart has changed that's going to change the direction of this country? Mm. Like, what in you, like, not your platform, mm-hmm. not what you're supposed to say, like, how do you actually feel that's different than you did before? Like, what were the mistakes? And how can those mistakes that you made be lessons for all of America for a moment of reflection on how we treat black people mm-hmm. in this country?
Mm-hmm. I just want to, and I apologize, in we have...
I would really love to allow her to answer
yeah, no,
the question.
I'm not
and
stopping.
We've worked really hard. We've driven so many hours.
We're not stopping. Yeah. I'm just letting you guys know before we've got a couple more minutes. We still have more people in the overflow that are waiting. So I'm not interrupting what you're about to say. I just wanted to sort of mm-hmm. give you guys a heads up on timing. So we've got limited time.
Well, obviously, it's a very thoughtful question. It deserves a thoughtful answer. And I can only tell you that I feel very committed to and responsible for doing whatever I can. I've spent most of my adult life focused on kids through the Children's Defense Fund and other efforts to try to give kids, particularly poor kids, particularly black kids and Hispanic kids, the same chance to live up to their own God-given potential as any other kid. That's where I've been focused. And I think that there has to be a reckoning. I agree with that. But I also think there has to be some positive vision and plan that you can move people toward. I mean, once you say, this country has still not recovered from its original sin, mm-hmm. which is true, once you say that, then the next question by people who are on the sidelines, which is the vast majority of Americans, the next question is, well, so what do you want me to do about it? What am I supposed to do about it? That's what I'm trying to put together in a way that I can explain it and I can sell it. Because in politics, if you can't explain it and you can't sell it, it stays on the shelf. And this is now a moment in time, just like the civil rights movement or the women's movement or the gay rights movement or a lot of other movements reached a point in time. The people behind that consciousness raising and advocacy, they had a plan ready to go. So that when you turn to, the women's movement, we want to pass this and we want to pass that and we want to do this, problems are not all taken care of, we know that. Obviously, I know more about the civil rights movement in the old days because I had a lot of involvement in working with people. So they had a plan, this piece of legislation, this court case we're going to make, et cetera, et cetera. Same with the gay rights movement. We're sick of homophobia, we're sick of being discriminated against, we want marriage equality, and we're starting in the states and we're going to keep going until we get it at the highest court of the land. So all I'm saying is your analysis is totally fair. It's historically fair, it's psychologically fair, it's economically fair. But you're going to have to come together as a movement and say, here's what we want done about it. Because you can get lip service from as many white people as you can pack into Yankee Stadium and mm-hmm. a million more like it, who are going to say, oh, we get it, we get it, we're going to be nicer, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. That's not enough, at least in my book. That's not how I see politics. So the consciousness raising, the advocacy, the passion, the youth of your movement is so critical. But now all I'm suggesting is, even for us sinners, find some common ground on agendas that can make a difference right here and now in people's lives. And that's what I would love to, you know, have your thoughts about, because that's what I'm trying to figure out how to do. So, yeah, deal with mass incarceration. It's not just an economic issue, although I grant you some people see it like that. But it's more than that. I think there is a sense like, you know, low-level offenders, disparity in treatment, we got to do something about that. I think that a lot of the issues about housing and about, job opportunities, ban the box, a lot of these things, let's get an agenda that addresses as much of the problem as we can. Because then you can be for something, in addition to getting people to have to admit that they're part of a long history in our country of, either... proposing, supporting, condoning discrimination, segregation, etc. Now, what do we do next? And that's what I'm trying to figure out in my campaign. So that's what I'm doing.
The piece that's most important, and I stand here in your space, and I say this as respectfully as I can, but if you don't tell black people what we need to do, then we won't tell you all what you need to do.
Well, I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you to tell me.
What I mean to say is that this is and has always been a white problem of violence. It's not, there's not much that we can do to stop the violence against us.
Well, if that is
a conversation that pushed back.
Okay, I understand.
And
I understand what you're saying.
Also respectfully.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
Well, respectfully, if that is your position, then I will talk only to white people about how we are going to deal with the very real problem.
That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. No. But like what I'm saying is you what you just said was a form of victim blaming, right? You were saying that what the Black Lives Matter movement needs to do to change white hearts is
no. I'm not talking about.
Look,
I don't believe you change hearts. I believe you change laws, you change allocation of resources, you change the way systems operate. You're not going to change every heart. You're not. But at the end of the day, we can do a whole lot to change some hearts and change some systems and create more opportunities for people who deserve to have them to live up to their own God-given potential, to live safely without fear of violence in their own communities, to have a decent school, to have a decent house, to have a decent future. So we can do it one of many ways. You know, you can keep the movement going, which you have started, and through it, you may actually change some hearts. But if that's all that happens, we'll be back here in 10 years having the same conversation.
Julia,
because we will not have all of the changes that you deserve to see happen in your lifetime because of your willingness to get out there and talk about this.
Thank you.
Thanks. We've got to go this way.
We should find a way to do this. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready to do my part in any way that I can.
And I'm sure
thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, everyone. Okay, that was Hillary Clinton talking to the Black Lives Matter individual, and there's a good dialogue going on in that part. And the reason I put this on there is because it's not that I'm an advocate for Hillary or any candidate right now, but it was just the fact that it was just a great dialogue, and there's a lot of questions that were answered, actually, through that dialogue. And even some people may have taken it the wrong way of the white man telling them to do again. And, you know, that's not the way. Hillary said some very good things. And then if you weren't here at the beginning of the broadcast of me putting on this, what she said in the beginning is that the protesting part actually puts pressure on lawmakers and people to give attention to the movement. So, just like how it was in the civil rights movement, everything has a twofold to it. You had the protesters, which was mainly with Dr. King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, you had Rosa Parks, Jesse Jackson, Jose Williams, Megan Evers, all these other people that were protesters and everything. But then you had the lawyers, the ones that fought inside the courtrooms to change the laws. See, and this is where what Hillary was talking about in here. You can't change hearts. You could change laws. Laws make things change. Just like how the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act came in place. Those are laws that are changed to help stop discrimination. And thus, minorities got a chance to vote. Women got a chance to vote. Discrimination diminished, hopefully. But things have drastically changed since legislation has been put in place. And even interracial marriage, that has even unchanged. At first, you know, that used to be outlawed. But legislation in place, but the Love versus, I think, Virginia case, changed a lot. And so thus, this conversation between Hillary and the individual was, which I really do agree with Hillary pretty much 100% of what she said on here. Once again, not endorsing any candidate, but what she said in here is very dynamic in here because of how she said, okay, you have your movement. It's perfect. The protest is good because it's raising awareness to what's going on in America. Not a lot of people understand what's going on in America, but the second part needs work. In order for the protest to mean something, you have to follow up with legislation. What needs to change in the community? We have to get together to figure out what needs to change in the laws. Now, I would say not just to benefit black people, but to benefit us. Remember, the civil rights movement is not called a black movement. It has a lot of black participants in it, but the civil rights movement helped everyone, even helped the country to be better. So we need something in place to sort of be beneficial for everybody. With the and not only that, with the civil rights movement too, there was a lot more people involved. You had more entertainers, you had athletes too involved. The biggest one that I could always think of was Bill Russell, that's always involved standing up for what he believes in black rights and everything. So everybody needs to be on the same page, and everybody needs to be collectively on. Now, look, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not anything, but I'm willing to fight as long as it's purposeful. I'm not going to be aimlessly out there marching and what. How I see the Black Lives Matter movement, I see it as a good noisemaker to get people aware of what's going on in this country towards black people still and towards minorities still, because also, you know, Latinos go through the same mess too as well, and if possibly even Asian community, or even other immigrants from around the world, they go through the same issues too. The thing is that black people, we have a loud voice, we voice our opinions a lot, and we do grab a lot of attention, and we can utilize that as a weapon so we can get our voices heard and get laws changed. That's the part that we had to work on, is come up with a plan for a unified plan to get laws changed. What needs to be changed so we can have a better country? Now, this is just, like I said, this is just not to benefit black people, because if it just benefits us, then you're going to have the next culture race coming in fighting for this stuff. Next, it has to benefit everybody. That's why Dr. King was so powerful. I always say, even though Malcolm X and Dr. King fought for the same cause, Dr. King is the one that ended up with the holiday. It's because he fought for everybody. Everybody was involved. Everybody was underneath one umbrella. Everybody was underneath him because he was fighting for a better tomorrow for everybody that was quality. And now we have more people that have inequality dealing with us. We have classes, different classes, sexism, racism, and everything. So it's a bigger plan that needs to be handled through this. And we had to handle it accordingly. And so the weight is upon our shoulders. We have a very loud voice and a whole lot of influence. And we had to make a game changer. A game changer comes by changing the laws. And the protester keeps the heat on. Just like Hillary said. So Hillary did not say anything to me that seemed offensive. What she was saying, especially in the latter part of the interview, when you listen, is when she said, oh, I'll just go talk to the white people about this. What she was saying is this. She's saying the gay rights people came for protests, everything. I'm tired of this. So now the laws have changed. Now, even in the Supreme Court around the country, laws are in place for gay people to be legally union now. And then the same thing with civil rights, same thing with the voting rights, same thing with several other laws. People fought and they got to legislate. It didn't just come from protests, and there were people actually in there to fight these things. People actually in there to make change. Protests are only, like I said, it is, you know, it's in the grasp people by the hearts and everything like that, saying, oh, maybe we should do it. So now that's the first plan. Then you got to counteract with that, come up behind that with the legislation. Now, how do we make this change? What laws need to be in place? And that's what we need to be done. My question is, have we made it to the mountain? You got to ask yourself, have we made it to the mountaintop? Have we made it to the place that Dr. King was talking about already? All these times I always hear talking about we almost there, we almost made it, and everything like that. I'm trying to figure out where we're trying to make it to. If we haven't made it yet, look, we need to start working on ourselves. Because, look, we have athletes, we have leaders, we even had a black president in there, and we're still talking about we almost make it, and like that. I'm starting to see, I don't think we know what we're fighting for, really. We just make a lot of noise, and that's it. Same thing with the War on Wall Street movement thing, that protest, Occupy Wall Street. It's a bunch of rhetoric that's going to go on for a minute, and then it goes away. And then don't let this movement go away like this, because if you let it go away, it's not going to come back. And people take you less seriously, us less seriously. I'm all for this movement, but it has to be a purposeful movement in a manner that can be, that can produce something for everybody. Not just benefit one race, but everybody. We had to think more of than just us. Even though black people were being hurt, persecuted back in the day, the laws that are in place today help everybody. Minorities, whites, everybody. It made the country so much more better because of it. So we have to understand that in this country, yeah, there's so many different things that goes on in there, but in the end of the day, just like Hillary said, you could fill up Yankee Stadium with a whole bunch of white people. What, you're going to give us an apology? Yeah, I'm sorry. But then the next day, you go right back to the same thing. Then she said 10 years later, you'll be right back at the same mess again, having the same old talk. So therefore, what needs to go happen are laws. Right now, we have body cameras. That's a start. A start. But what more do we need? So what else needs to be done? What questions can we ask ourselves? What can be beneficial for everybody? What can do these things for us? So it's a whole lot of things and a whole lot of thinking that goes into this movement, and a lot of hands that are involved and a lot of protesters involved and just a lot of everything. And it just needs to come together as one basic movement to push our ideas through there. And we need to work on ourselves so we can be more unified as well. Now, folks, like I said, and if you listened to me last season, these are the things that we need to do in our own community so we can be more unified, have our own businesses, banks, whatever, everything, so we can be more unified. Communities put together, you know, so we can know a little even more and be closer even more. We need to stop being so sprawled out and disconnected and killing one another somewhere. If black lives truly matter, we'll diminish the black-on-black crime. That stuff will have to go away. But we can't be talking about Black Lives Matter protesting against a white cop when the next minute we up there killing our brother or our sister. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's why they're laughing. That's why the movie doesn't mean anything, because in the same sentence you are saying that and you're killing them, killing ourselves. So just think about that. That is truly matter. Let's start working in our communities, start helping out. Let's start educating the young ones, fathers being there for them, mothers being there for their kids, fathers being there for the families, everybody supporting one another, communities supporting one another, doing these things. That's the first role of things. Back in the day, they didn't really too much have a choice. Everything was already segregated anyway. So So they had to sit together. Well, like, you know, but now we got a little money, a little space, a little freedom on our hands. We forget everything else, and then it just goes out the door. I'm not rolling out like that. We got to be together. So listen to this audio. If you have it, it's on YouTube, it's all over the place, you know, about these things. Just think about this stuff. Think about the movement and everything that goes on in our lives, and that's you as an individual, whether you're black, white, Latino, Hispanic, any other race out there. You know, just think about the things that matter in your life and just push for it. Push for a movement to go for it and everything, and just go. Just do it. It takes a lot of progress. It takes a lot of time. You know, it takes a lot of pain to do it, but you could do it, though. So, but I want to end this episode with a song. 30 minutes goes by really fast. So, a song from the late and great Whitney Houston. I hope you like it. It's me, Nerds from ICU. Y'all have a good one. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. All Lives Matter as well. And thank you for the conversation. Listen to the download. Listen to the song. All right, have a good one. Bye.
Lost touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn. I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream. Thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down and I tumbled, but I did not. My darkest hour, my faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Oh, found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. I thought I'd never live that way. I thought I would pray. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down and I tumbled, but I did not. I was not built to break.